Praise the Lord
for a good morning to souls being saved. Praise God. And that's something we can get excited about. Amen. Amen. People getting saved, and we pray that they grow in the Lord. But tonight we're looking at John chapter 10 and verse number 10. And we need to praise God that we can have assurance of salvation in Christ Jesus. We have a sure faith. We have a sure salvation. We can know for sure that we are saved. We're so thankful. I think sometimes that we underestimate, maybe take for granted the assurance we have, the promise of God that we have in salvation. So many are trying to find that. Maybe they are in some denomination that doesn't teach assurance of salvation, whatever it may be, and they have a constant battle, a constant struggle of whether they know for sure or not that they're saved. And the devil loves to use that to in our life to disable us and to cause us to not be effective for God. Are you saved or are you not? And we're so thankful for the promises of Scripture. They're not the promises of our own mind. They're not the promises of our own thoughts, but they're the promises of God, the promises of Jesus Christ, and we can be thankful for that. And in this chapter of John, we see the sweet and wonderful assurances of salvation, and this is John chapter 10 as the discourse on the Good Shepherd and how we are safe in the fold of God and that we hear the voice of God. And tonight, the Good Shepherd is the only gate to heaven, and we should be full of the life that Christ gives to us. Sometimes, however, we don't have that abundant life. We can be worn down spiritually. We can be worn down by temptations. We can be worn down by the attacks of the devil, and that we have been standing steadfast. But there are times that we get worn down a little bit. That we get maybe not discouraged, but we get weary in well-doing. But tonight, there is a solution to that. Living in this world is draining. Amen. You go around, you just have to battle so much of what you see and what's around. It's just draining sometimes. I know sometimes we go out soul winning and we go to a part of town and we have so many things we have to deal with, whether it's marijuana they're smoking at the door or they're drugs or whether or not they're drinking. There are just so many things that we see. They come draining on us. Maybe going to work. Maybe you're in a work situation that you hear a lot of cursing and a lot of things that are against God. It can be draining. But we, in spite of all of that, we can still have that abundant life, and we can get it back tonight in a message entitled, The Solution to the Bare Bones Life. The Solution to the Bare Bones Life. I'm afraid that so many Christians, that I don't say so many, but too many Christians, that we sometimes live in a bare bones, we live at the very minimum, and we don't live abundantly for God. We don't have abundance of blessing. We don't have abundance of joy. Well, why is that? Well, let's all look at the Word of God tonight. Let's look up John chapter 10. Let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 10. Look at verse numbers 10 and 11. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Father, we're so thankful for your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our life. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give me the words to say. Help us, Lord, where we fall short, and show us, Lord, where we need to be living more abundantly. You want to encourage us tonight. You want to show us where the real meat is, where the truth is, where the abundance is. And I pray, Lord, that we take advantage of that and that we find out where it is. Maybe we've lost it somewhere along the way. Maybe there was a time in our life that we were more abundant in your blessing, dear Lord. Or maybe we have struggled to find it since being saved. Lord, I pray that we find it tonight and that we re-find it if we need to, whatever the case may be. And Lord, I pray that it be encouragement to people tonight and that it will lift our hearts and our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The solution to the bare bones life. Has there ever been a time in your spiritual life where it seems that things are just kind of dragging on? That things, you just get up and maybe you read your Bible, maybe you pray, but things aren't vibrant. Things are just kind of dragging on. And maybe the ministries that you do, you just kind of drag through them. And you're just kind of going, I just don't have any oomph anymore. You know, say, well, maybe I need to go to the doctor or maybe I need a checkup. Now, sometimes that is the case, but other times it is because we have lost something. We have lost something, and we need to go back to where that is. And we have lost the abundance of our life in Christ. And this verse here in John chapter 10, verse 10, at the end of the verse, I come that they might have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Now, we can look at that. Some people make sometimes light of that. They said, yes, when we get saved, we have more abundant trials, we have more abundant problems, but we also have more abundant blessing. And sometimes that is true. But in our everyday life, no matter what's going on around us, I think sometimes we look at the situations around us and we look at what is going on around us so much that we let it affect us in such a drastic way. We look at the circumstances, we look at what people are doing or what people are saying, and we don't look at what God is saying and what God is telling us, that sometimes we can get worn down with those things. So what abundance does God have, and what abundance are we missing out on? Number one tonight is abundant joy. Abundant joy. We can live with abundant joy in what Christ has given to us. I mean, we can just be joyful every day that we're saved and on our way to heaven. Amen? Praise God. We shouldn't lose sight of that. We need to just be thankful we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. And this start every day. If the rest of the day goes bad, we're still on our way to heaven. Amen. Nothing that's going to happen during the day is going to change that. Nothing anybody's going to say is going to change that. Nothing anybody's going to do is going to change that. And we can have more abundant joy in just simply that we're saved. We need to get back to some basic things sometimes. Sometimes we get up in the morning and maybe you're like me. You think about all the things you got to do that day. You think about all the things, all the responsibilities, all the pressures, and you know, sometimes you just want to put the cover sheets back over your head and say, you know what, I think I'll take the day off. Or I think I'm just going to wait until tomorrow. Or I think this day is just not going to be a good day. You know what we can say? Well, you're saved on your way to heaven, so you need to be joyful and thankful. Amen. And we can look at that. Need to look at the good things. Sometimes we look at all the problems instead of all the blessings. We have the blessings. We have all kinds of blessings. The blessing of everlasting life. And as our passage verse tells us, that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, not just barely existent life. When we got saved, God did not just make us partially alive. He didn't make us barely alive. He made us complete. Remember, whenever He performs a miracle, anytime God performs a miracle, He performs it all the way. Amen. When we see Jesus healing somebody, He didn't heal them halfway. He didn't heal the leper one half of his body and not the other. He always cleansed them completely. He restored that man's withered hand completely. He brought Lazarus back from the dead. He didn't bring Lazarus back from the dead partially. He wasn't mostly dead or partially dead. He was all the way alive. Restored his rotted flesh. Restored his body that had been rotting in the grave for 3 days. Restored it completely. I mean, he wasn't alive and still stank like a dead man. He was completely restored. And when we get saved, we're not just made partially spiritually alive. We're made completely alive. Amen. Abundant life. Not just barely existing. Christ did not perform the miracle of salvation and then place our spirit on life support. Because sometimes we live that way. We live like we're on spiritual life support. You say, if one more thing goes wrong, I'm quitting on God. If one more thing goes wrong, I'm just done with it all. I quit, I give up. But that's not the abundant life. I'm not saying we don't get discouraged. Sometimes we get distracted. But we don't need to live in that constant state every single day. If we live in that state every single day of almost quitting every day, week in, week out, month after month, there's no joy in your life, then there's a problem. There's a problem. You need to have joy. You know, sometimes, you know, you talk to people and, you know, I've been saved for 20 years. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Tell your face. Amen? Because sometimes you talk to people, I said, so, you know, they're over there all gnarled and shriveled and negative and whatever, and you go over there and you say, you think they need, you know, sometimes have you ever done this? That you go up to somebody and say, you know what, they look like they need Jesus. So you go over there and you go and give them a check. Well, I'm inviting you to church. I already go to church. Oh, okay. So, well, they must not go in the right church because they sure haven't gotten Jesus or whatever. And you start talking to them and say, well, I got saved 30 years ago or 10 years ago, however long. You know what? I've been saved. I said, oh, okay. And you're scratching your head. Like, well, they got saved, but I don't know if anything happened. Or maybe it did happen, but then they lost it somewhere along the way. And there's times that we can lose it. And there's some days that we're not happy. We're not joyful. Nothing's going right. But is that the way God wants us to live every day? Absolutely not. Because Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He did not just barely save us, but he has given us abundant eternal life. This should bring abundant joy in our life. Look at John 15. I want to look at John chapter 15 here a little bit more and about abiding in Christ. Now, John 15 is the I am the vine, you're the branches. Right here, and it said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Okay, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so more can ye, except abide in me. So sometimes we try so hard to produce spiritual fruit. We try so hard. But you know what? We don't produce fruit on our own. We produce fruit through what Christ has done in our heart and our life, through the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to that in a minute. But we see that bearing fruit. Now look down at verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now the disciples were joyful when they were with Jesus. Amen. I think if you were with Jesus all the time, day in and day out, you'd be joyful. They were excited. They knew he was the Messiah, and they were excited to be with him. But Jesus knew that he would not always be right there physically with them. He'd be with them in the person of the Holy Spirit, but he would not be physically there with them day in and day out. And he said, I've written these things unto you, what he wrote in chapter 15, that your joy might be full, that you can abide in me, and you can still have the same joy. Just like I was standing here next to you, you can have that same joy, and the joy that we're going to have all through eternity and being in the presence of the Lord forever. But is that what we experience? Is that what life really brings to us? As well, pastor, sometimes we're joyful, but sometimes we're not. You know, sometimes we come to church just so we can be encouraged by the singing and the preaching and be joyful. We can leave rejoicing and be joyful, amen? We can do that. However, day in, day out, if we're not having joy, you're missing something. You're missing the abundant life that God wants to give you and that Jesus died to give you. What are we missing? Some have never known the abundant life of joy. Some because they've never been saved. But others, youth, well, I used to know that joy. You know that joy when you got saved? Amen. I mean, we remember when we got saved, we had joy in our heart. I mean, there was nothing wrong. There was nothing that you could say or do. I mean, we were just joyful. We were excited. And I said, Pastor, that's just emotionalism. Not necessarily. That's a joy that comes from heaven. And you know what? You can have that every day. You know, people that are joyful and they're smiling and they're just joyful and I'm not talking about the plastic smile, fake joy. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about manufactured joy. There's some people like that. You know, they just have a plastic smile on no matter what they do. And it's not really what's going on inside. But I'm talking about people that have genuine joy. I mean, they're just happy. And you know what? The cynical people hate them. And what are they so happy about? You know, in the midst of all the circumstances, yes, they're maybe having some bad things go on, but they're still joyful. And the people say, well, what's wrong with you? And some Christian people ask them, what's wrong with them? Well, they just have Jesus, that's all. Like you do. And you can be joyful like that, and God wants us to be. That your joy may be full. Full joy. Have we lost the joy? Have we lost joy tonight? There are times when I've lost my joy. And you're just going through day. I mean, just everything's bad. I mean, everything, you know, nothing goes right. And you just, you know, and really, it's not that the day's going bad. It's just how you're viewing the day. And just instead of seeing all the good things, you see all the things that are going wrong. By the way, there's always going to be things that go wrong in the day. Do you know that? But there's also a lot of things that go right. And what are we going to be joyful about? But what do? We sit here and we cry and we complain about what's going wrong instead of what's going right. And what God is doing. God's always doing something, but are we looking at it? The source of all of our joy is in Christ. Let me ask you something. Is your spiritual life waning? Is your joy waning? Is your spirit on life support? That's not how God wants you to live your life. Focusing on what God has provided is key to joy. Focusing on what God is doing and not focusing on what the devil's doing. You know one of the keys to having joy? Contentment. Be content with such things as ye have. Paul said, you don't wonder that Paul was joyful in the midst. You look at him at the Philippian jail. and that he had just been beaten. His back is bleeding. He had been beaten. Him and Silas had been beaten. Or I should say Silas and him. I should say it right. And that they were beaten. They were bleeding. And anybody that had a right to complain, we look at them. Well, hey, they just went through a lot. They have every right to complain. They have every right to be upset. They have every right to say, oh, Lord, why are you letting us go through that? But no, they had joy. They sang praises. They gave praise to God. They were singing. We scratch our heads like, what's wrong with them? They had joy. Guess what? They were content with what was going on in their life. They were content to be beaten if that's what God wanted for them. How many times do we complain? How many times do I complain about a circumstance or a situation God has placed me in? But that's what God wanted. And we sit and gripe and complain instead of being content and joyful. So, Lord, thank you for bringing the situation into my life. Can we get to the place of thanking God for trials? Can we get to the place of thanking God for the bad situation that we see as bad? But remember, God works all things together for good, Romans 8:28. Those that love God and those that are the called according to His purpose. If you're following God in the will of God, then anything that happens to you is not bad. It's something good that God wants to bring forth in your life. But oh, contentment. Do you know where I think... You know, some people say, you know, where is it the hardest place to be a Christian? Oh, Pastor, it's got to be the hardest place to be a Christian in Africa. It's got to be the hardest place to be a Christian in the jungles of Papua New Guinea against all that paganism. It's so hard to be a Christian in wherever place of the world. We think of remote places. We think of harsh physical conditions. You know what? I think it's the hardest place to be a Christian in the United States of America. Because our culture is based on discontentment. If you disagree with me, you take a look at the advertising campaigns that are everywhere. Why is Walmart the number one retailer in the world? Because Americans are discontent. You'd want to disagree? We have a discontented culture. Just look at Black Friday every year. That people go out in line and fight to get the newest stuff that they have 10 of at home already. They go and they get the big screen TV, the 4K. Now it's ultra 4K. And so I was joking with the Best Buy guy. I was there. So what's going to be after 4K? Ultra 4K? He started laughing. He said probably something like that. I mean, how much more lifelike can you get? Eventually they're going to have to stop, you know. But still, hey, I have the 4K, but hey, I need to get the ultra 4K this year. Oh, this is old. I mean, it's blurry and it's terrible and anything. By the way, have any of you have ever seen the 4K and the Ultra ones next to each other? Do you notice a difference? I don't. Not a big one, but some, I guess they say, I mean, those that watch football and stuff, they say, there's a big difference. Yeah, that's because that's what Samsung and all these other places want you to believe. Anyway, they say, oh, it's a huge difference. And they have all these advertising campaigns. And you know what? I said, is it, Pastor, are you saying it's wrong to have an ultra 4K television? No. It is wrong when you're buying it because you're discontented with what you have. If we're discontented, well, I don't need that anymore. Why do you think that most Americans don't own their car for more than a year and a half to 2 years before they trade it in? Because they got to have the newest model. Has nothing to do with the mechanical condition of the car. Has nothing to do with the functionality of the car. Has everything to do with, well, I don't like it anymore because it's not new. Got to have the newest thing. You know what? A lot of Christians are caught up in that. Fads. Whether it be fashion or whatever it may be. That's what a lot of social media is built on. Discontent. But Paul and Silas, they were content with their situation. And Paul had learned something. In whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And you think about that statement. It's whatever condition he was in. Whether he was in the middle of a storm at sea. Whether he was in the middle of being beaten with rods by the Jews. Or whether he was being whipped with a cat of nine tails by the Romans. Or whether, which was not lawful for him to be done because he was a Roman citizen. Roman citizens were never to be whipped, but he was on several occasions, even though he was a Roman citizen. And actually, I believe it was at Philippi, he went to them and he told them, I'm a Roman citizen. They thought he was just a Jewish man. He said, I'm a Roman citizen. And they were afraid because they could be killed for doing that. But he said, I'm content with whatever situation I'm in. He was content. Remember, he was in prison. He was imprisoned. Whatever state he was in at that moment, he saw it as the will of God because he was completely submitted to God. It was God's will. And because it was God's will, and he was abiding in Christ, he was joyful about it. So, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, the situation that's going on in your life right now, and you're not joyful about it, let me ask you a question. Are you in God's will? If you're not in God's will, and there's consequences coming about because you're not in God's will, you're not doing what God wants you to do, and you know you're not doing what God wants you to do, guess what? You're not going to have any joy. And people's like, well, I don't understand what I don't have joy. I mean, there was people at college, I remember, all that, I don't have joy, I don't have joy. And he talked to them, I just don't understand, I just hate my life and everything. And I said, well, why is that? Well, I knew I was supposed to go to college somewhere else. Or I knew I was supposed to do this or that. Well, I know I was supposed to be a this particular major, but I said, I want to do this one. And they're miserable. Why? Because they're not in the will of God. We'll have abundant joy if we're in the will of God. If not, we're not going to have any joy. You're not going to have any blessing. You're not going to have any success unless you're in the will of God. That brings us to number two, abundant grace. Abundant grace. When Jesus was giving us the hope of the gospel in John chapter 10, he was revealing an essential truth to us. There are times when our lives seem overwhelming. There are times and moments when we don't know where to turn. This is when we need the grace of God in our life. Now, what's the definition of grace? It means free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from Him. Oh, I could preach every service for years on the grace of God, in that we're saved by the grace of God because of we are undeserving of salvation. We are undeserving of anything, but through the grace of God, He sent His Son Jesus to this wicked and vile and evil earth. Can you imagine? The perfect God of all the ages, the Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the very Son of God who had eternally existed in perfect holiness in heaven, came to earth among us sinful men. That is we have to understand that. We always look at, the physical things, and we always look at the physical things that Jesus went through. Yes, but just Him being among sinful men, and having to love them, and having to care for them, and that every moment of every day He saw things that were an offense to His holiness, that He had to deal with in the human flesh. That's just overwhelming even to think about. That God, and we can't fully understand that because guess what? We're not perfect. Newsflash, in case you didn't know. We're not perfect. But Jesus was. In that, through that grace, that giving, that love that God showed to us, we might have eternal life. But the grace of God does not stop there. We know from the Scriptures, but by the grace of God, we are not consumed. That we just don't sent straight to the pit of hell because of our sin, and we're living today. If you're not saved and you're alive today and you're out of the pit of hell, that's simply by the grace of God that you're not there. It's simply by the grace of God that God gave me the space to repent before I was saved. I was on my way to hell, and by any moment, God could have decided you're done and dropped dead and been in the pit of hell. But by the grace of God, all of us have been saved. And if you're not saved here tonight, don't presume upon the grace of God. Oh, so many people presume on the grace of God. Well, God will take care of me. God will give me time. I'll have this space to repent. Remember, time runs out. Time runs out. Even for the Christian, it runs out. Because, oh, I'm saved, I know my way to heaven, and God's always there to forgive me. Paul said in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? To God forbid. That we should do that. That we should presume upon the grace of God. We should never do that. Never take God's grace for granted. Here are some truths about God's grace. The provision of His mercy and compassion and grace are new every day. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23. Lamentations chapter 3 verses 22 and 23.
just had it. There we go.
Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And that's where we get the words, great is Thy faithfulness. And that the mercy and grace of God, His compassion is new every morning. And it will never fail. It will never fail. And there are times we're going through tough times. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 tells us this. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that was the key for His joy, but also His contentment in the situation was the key to having God's grace, God's power, work in His life, so that that particular trial or that limitation that was in Paul's life, the thorn in the flesh, did not overwhelm him and overcome him and make him useless to God, but that God, with His grace, gave him the ability to serve Him. See that in 2 Corinthians 9, 8 as well. And it brings, once again, abundant life. We see it repeated again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, abound is the idea of, has the idea behind fruitfulness. That you can have a plant that brings forth fruit, can bring forth a little bit, but if it's an abounding plant, you know, an example of this is that this year, for the first time on our little patio at our apartment, we decide we're going to plant some vegetables. So we got a little thing from, and Dollar Tree sells these. Good seeds, too. You don't have to go get the fancy ones from Lowe's. You can get the dollar one, and they will grow just as good. Same plant, amen? So we got some things there. We got, but I did splurge on one thing. Went down to HEB. They have the little garden center there in Copper's Cove. And so I was just looking for some, you know, regular, everyday, you know, $2.50 a bag potting soil to put it in there. But then my eyes fastened upon the Cadillac of potting soils. Miracle-Gro. Miracle-Gro potting soil. You know, they put the little picture on the side that says, this is the plant without Miracle-Gro. Here it is with Miracle-Gro. So you know what? Maybe we, you know, that's probably not the big difference there. So we got that. But you know what? We put four beans in a pot. There we're getting some string beans there. I'll tell you what, I've never seen beans grow so fast. And up they come. You know, I can tell that these beans are going to abound. I mean, they're going to have some fruit there. And I'm looking forward to having some beans there. And that's the idea that God wants to have. He wants some abounding. I mean, if you look at a plant and it's half wilted and slouched over, has one little bean on it, you said, man, that thing's barely holding on. And how many Christians are just slumped over, have a little bean, and they're barely hanging on? When they can be straight, they can be tall, they can have big leaves, and they can have the big old beans on them. Why? Because God's done it for you. Well, will you let Him do it? Only by grace of God can we have abundance in our spiritual walk. But will you let Him do it? Are you going to be submitted to Him to let Him do it? And that brings number three, abundant power. So abundant joy, abundant grace, and then three, abundant power. There is power in walking with Jesus. Amen. Now we're not talking about worldly power to rule kingdoms or rule over people. We're talking about power for service, power for living. And through this power, all these go together, by the way, the grace, the joy, and then the grace and the power, all three come together. And that comes by walking in the Spirit of God. And it comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. There is power in walking with Jesus Christ. And we're talking about power over sin. You know, when the temptation comes, if you try and stand before the devil, you're going to lose. Every time. We can't stand before the wiles of the devil. The kids have been learning in Sunday school class, and Mrs. Hallman, that what do they have to do? They have to put on the whole armor of God. Not our armor. It's God. You can't stand in your own power. You got to stand in the power of God. That power over sin. The power. We're talking about the power to help others. You know, sometimes, yes, God, I need your power to have victory over sin, but when it comes to helping other people, I've got it. Guess what? You need the power of God to have wisdom to know what to talk, to tell people. Amen. You know that sometimes people come to me with problems. I said, Lord, I have no idea what to tell them. Will you tell me? Show me something. And the Lord always does. Amen. And because you're going to be faced with situations. You're going to be faced with things. You have no idea how to help somebody. And then the Lord gives you power to do it. We're talking about power to have God's wisdom in life's varying situations. We're faced with so many situations. You know, sometimes we sit there and we stress ourselves out with all the situations, all the possibilities, the what ifs. And you know what? We can kill our, put ourselves, give ourselves an ulcer and put ourselves into an early grave with the what ifs of life. Amen? Because we don't know. God does. And we sit there and we stress and we go, what's going to complain? That's just an example of what I do. You know, just ask my wife. And I don't have panic attacks or anything like that. But still, I get up, you know, like, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? You know, that's where our faith comes in. Our faith in God. And He gives wisdom. If men lack wisdom, let them ask of God. Still in the book, amen. Ask. It's a hard life to live when your spiritual battery is depleted. If you're depleted, just dragging through. Yeah, tomorrow's another day. I guess I'll have to face it. God doesn't want us to live like that. We don't need to. I understand there are days when we're weary and we're tired, but we don't need to live like a cloud hangs right here. Because the cloud Jesus took away when He saved us. Amen. We had a cloud of judgment and sin hanging over us. We have no reason to have a cloud hanging over us. It's hard to have victory when you don't have any strength to raise your sword for battle. I'm just done. I'm depleted. And I understand that there are times when we need some rest and we need to take some time alone to spiritually be charged for God. But if you're in a constant state, no matter how much time you take, no matter how much breaks you take, and it just seems that you just can't make it through, there is a problem. Either there's sin in your life, or you're not in the will of God, or you're not submitted to allowing God to bring that joy and grace and power in your life. I can handle it myself. Oh, that's the fastest way to wear out a Christian. They can go for a little while on their own. Little go on a little bit on the spiritual strength they have, but eventually it comes to an end. And we are not spiritually strong enough ourselves, but we're simply a conduit. Just like the branch doesn't bear any fruit on its own in John 15, the power comes from the vine. The power comes from Jesus. Where does our power come from? Well, we know Acts 1:8. We know the Holy Spirit empowers for His service. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That there were to wait, and they waited 10 days. Holy Spirit came. Guess what? The world got turned upside down. It wasn't them. You know what the best that they could do in their physical strength? You know what it was? Hide. They trusted the flesh when it came, when Jesus was taken away. Guess what? Guess where they all went? They all ran. And they all hid. That's a picture of what the flesh can do. You know, we can say we're all big and bad and strong, but when the time comes, we're like, hey! You know, it's amazing that the flesh does that. The flesh is responsible for false advertising. Amen? The devil is responsible for false advertising. Here's why. Because he said, hey, you can do it on your own. You can take on the sin. You can take on the temptation. You can take on the work for God. You can do it on your own. And we're like, yeah, we can do it. And we get all pumped up with ourselves, all pumped up with pride. And we're like, okay, I'm ready to do it. And then all of a sudden the flesh says, bye. Boom. We get defeated. False advertising. You know, how many people we ever encounter that they're all talk and no substance? You know, they say they talk a good game, but they don't do anything. There's nothing behind it. You know what? That's what we do to ourselves. When we decide, I want to do it myself. Instead, we need the Holy Spirit's power to empower us for service. And that's only going to happen if we say, God, I can't do it. It's not me. It's not my plans, not my will for today, not anything. It's only what you want for me. The Holy Spirit empowers us for service. Second, God does not want us to have just some power. Just have just enough. He doesn't want us to have, well, just a little bit, but wants us through Jesus Christ to have power that is abundant. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Once again, if you look at the word abundant, abound, this is the plan of God for every single Christian. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly." Once again, there's that word abundant again. "Abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So that God works in the same proportion of the power that is in us. And that power is only as much as we allow it to be. No, the worst enemy to the Christian life, it's not the devil, it's not sin, it's yourself. The human nature is the worst enemy to any Christian. Yourself. You know, some people, "Well, I think others." No, yourself. Trust me. Look at Adam and Eve. You know what their own worst enemy was? Themselves. They were created in perfectness and holiness. But God doesn't want to just have some power, but He wants to produce even more than we could think to ask for. Because our minds are small. God is infinite. We're finite. God is eternal. We have all these things. We have to understand something. Is that we can ask God for something, and God says, "That's great, I'm glad you asked me, but I had something a little better in mind." Amen. Aren't you glad? Isn't it amazing when He does that? "I have something better in mind for you." You know what? And that's, I always look at that as when I was praying and asking the Lord for a wife. You know, I was praying for that. Young people, don't settle. The God is always going to give you more than you ask for when you get the right person. Amen. Don't settle for that. But I prayed, and guess what? When I found out and I got to know my wife, and I fell in love with her, and I found out she fell in love with me, you know, because sometimes she's like, "I hope she cares. She likes me too." And we fell in love with each other, and I would say, "Fall, we chose to love each other." And you know what? I found out what I got, and I was so glad that she didn't return me. You know, when she found out all of my failings and shortcomings and things that I didn't measure up to much, but I'm so glad that she didn't trade me in for somebody else, because she could have gotten somebody better. But guess what? I got more than what I asked for in my wife. But there's some people that they sell for what less than they asked for. And some people say, "Well, am I asking God for too much?" God is always going to go above what you can even think yourself. But God wants to see if you're going to be patient. God wants to see, and at the right time and the right moment, we're seeing too many young people settle in marriage for somebody instead of the one God has for them. Can we say amen to that, parents? Oh, we see it all too often. I've seen it too often. The young people are like, "There's no one out there." There is. Guess what? Elijah thought there was nobody else out there. He thought he was the last one. He said, "I am the last one that serves God." And God says, "No, don't think so highly of yourself. There's 4,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So you're not alone." You know, sometimes we think we're all alone in a little island somewhere. And that's just the devil. You know what? There's a lot of other people that believe the same thing out there. That's why I'm so excited our people are going to the Fairhaven Conference. Amen. I just love that conference. I'm going to say, I'm going to brag on them a little bit. I understand they're just people. I understand that they've made mistakes and have problems just like anybody else. But guess what? When I went up there, it was such a blessing to go to a place and not worry about the music. Amen? And you can just worship God. You can open up your heart and just worship God. And not worry about that the preacher's going to say something weird. And you know, we go to meetings around here locally, and some of them are blessed meetings, and sometimes you get there, and you know the music's not going to be right. You know there's going to be something, but you can just open up your heart, and you can just soak it in, and you can feel your spiritual battery going. I mean, it's just amazing. Amen? And we always tell the people, "Man, you've got something awesome here. Don't get used to it." Sometimes, but people do. Some people, even in this church, they get used to it. God does something special here. Well, I don't see it. Oh, because you're not looking. God does His work. Where does our power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, and God wants to give us that abundant power. He wants to give more than we ask for. But then, look at Isaiah 40, verse 31, last verse for tonight. Power for the battle ahead. Oh, there's battles we're going to face. You know, some days we get up and say, "Do I have to fight today, Lord? Can I take a rest?" And it's the days that you want to rest that the devil attacks you the worst. And the devil comes in and he tries to discourage, and that's the days we have to stand. But it's amazing at those times that maybe we don't feel like fighting or that we don't have that strength. But it's always amazing if you're walking with God. Maybe you're walking with Him and being joyful, but it's always when that battle comes, at that moment, all of a sudden you have strength. Amen? He doesn't give it to you beforehand so you think you're 10 feet tall. He gives it to you just at the right time. He gives you the right words and you fight off the devil. And He'll give you that strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That means we get tired. Amen? We do. The flesh, we get tired. Is the pastor saying we shouldn't get tired? Oh, we do. You know what? I've been talking a lot, you know, about different things, you know, that, you know, if I get up here and say something weird, I just blame it on my son, you know, keeping us up half the night. You know, it's amazing. I don't know what it is with children and Saturday night. Amen. For a pastor's family, I mean, Philip, he would sleep good all week long until Saturday night, be up to 3 a.m. every week, almost every single week till he was 6 months old. And then, I don't know, I think Philip went over and whispered in Timothy's ear how to do this. And said, hey, keep him up to 4 a.m, you know, and don't let him go to sleep and wear him out. You know, sometimes, and I was telling somebody today, you know, children are heritage for the Lord, but I believe sometimes the babies work on the other side of things sometimes. But anyway, Pastor, you didn't say that. It's a joke, okay? But I'm just saying that there are times, you know what, and that I was glad that everything was ready, and I get everything ready. I got the bulletin all ready and everything beforehand, because guess what? I needed every second of sleep this morning. And you know what? There are times that we feel like we don't have the battle, the strength for the battle ahead. We don't have the strength for it. But you know what? We're going to get tired. But they that wait upon the Lord, He's going to give you strength right on time. He's not going to be late. But sometimes you pray this, Lord, I need strength. Lord, I need strength. I need strength right now. He's not listening. No, He's going to give you strength when He thinks you need it, not when you think you need it. He's going to give it to you right on time. That's the amazing thing about God. He knows if He gives it to us ahead of time, then we're going to think we're somebody, instead of giving Him the credit. And then when we get through a situation and we look back and say, wow, that wasn't me. That was completely God. God knows how we operate. So let's not tell Him how He should. Amen? Sometimes, Christian, we can be a commentary. How God, this is how I think you need to do things. We have no place to say that. Say, Lord, not my will, but Thine. You can figure it out because You created everything. You created me, and You're far more omnipotent than we can even imagine. Something interesting. I was watching a creation video. I've been doing a lot of that lately, just kind of researching and getting things in my mind for my class. And they brought up a quote from Martin Luther back in Martin Luther's day, that there was many that believed that God created in one day instead of the 6 literal days. Today we have the opposite problem, that they believe it takes a long time versus just the 6 days. But back then, in his day, they believed that God created all in one day and didn't have 6 days. And basically, Martin Luther said this in one of his commentaries, is that if God decided to create, you're saying He created in one day, and the scriptures say He created in 6 days, and God decided to do it that way, then why don't you give the Holy Spirit the benefit of being more learned than you are? In that, it's basically saying this, that they're raising themselves up, that God didn't know what He was talking about. And that God created in the amount of time that He said. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we do that. We said we don't let God be God. And we think we know better. And we say, hey, I think that this should be this way. Okay, God, I think You should have done this. Hold on. We shouldn't think anything that God should have done something else different. We say, maybe we don't understand it, but God did the right thing because He is always right. He is the righteous judge. He doesn't make mistakes. Let God be God. God has in store for us such abundance of joy and power and peace. We are to resist the devil, and some have resisted unto death. They resisted and gave their life. We cannot resist the devil and the power he wields on our own. Only by the power of God And not just a little bit of power, but abundant power to defeat the devil, to win the victory for the Lord. We should not be satisfied with a good enough result. We should only be satisfied through absolute victory. Well, I guess that turned out the best it could under the circumstances. No, we need to expect God to give the victory completely. We lower our expectations sometimes. Like, well, lower the horizons. Remember, God never falls short, but we do. We short-circuit what God wants to do. We just bring it down to our expectation. We put God's power into our expectations and what is reasonable in our mind. There are so many things that has happened in my life, and I'm sure in your life, that it was because you expected God to be God that it happened, and it didn't lower your expectations. But you know what? After a while, we get tired of having that faith, and we lower our expectations of what God can do. We lower our expectations of what our responsibility to God is. We lower our expectation of what how much faithfulness God expects out of us. Instead of saying, Lord, I am yours completely. I expect you to be God. I believe you can do anything. I think it's easy for us to say, but really believe that is another. That God can do anything. So what brings the abundant life? Perhaps we should take a look at what to take away in this abundant life. The biggest culprit of what takes away from this abundant life is a lack of focus on spiritual things. A lack of prayer, a lack of faithfulness in God, and also a lack of faith in God's ability to bring abundance to your life. Not talking about material abundance, but spiritual abundance, which is far greater than any amount of money, the riches of God in your life. Do you have a desire to have that abundant life? You can tonight. Won't you start tonight? Won't you have that power that only God can give, that joy that only God can give? And say, maybe you've lost it. Will you find it tonight? Go back and get it. Say, Lord, where did I lose it? Maybe it was in a trial. Maybe it was in a hurt. Maybe it was in something. Maybe it was in sin. I don't know. But if you lost it, you can find it again. And God can give it to you if you're willing to look for it tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Pray that you'll bless our time in your word. I pray that you'll bless this invitation time. We pray that you would help us, dear Lord, to be victorious, to be abundant, all of these things, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, give us power to serve you and to love you, dear Lord. Be in this invitation time. Be with us. Help us in a special way. In Jesus' name. Amen.